black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well. I see fingers up and down my spine. Same old witchcraft when your eyes meet mine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another great episode of Frankly Drinking. I am your host, Lawrence.
And I'm Luke, and you are listening to Frankly Drinking.
Tonight, we have a special episode for the second episode of the season. We are breaking out a little bit of a Halloween theme tonight. We're going to be doing a blind bourbon tasting. A blind bourbon tasting. See what I did there?
Blind.
Blind.
Bourbon
and tasting. Since it's episode number 2, we are going to be focusing on two things. Frank's number 2 singles, the singles that didn't quite get there, and Buffalo Trace's Mash Bill number 2.
Ooh.
Buffalo. What does that mean, you
Buffalo
say?
Buffalo Trace Mash Bill number 2. Yes.
Buffalo Trace Mash Bill number 2.
Mash Bill. Okay.
Yeah. So this is very interesting because I've been wanting to do this for a while, and it was time to do a blind tasting, kind of in the dark here about what we're going to taste. And I thought it would pair nicely with some of these singles that made it to the number 2 slot on the charts.
Yeah, and I mean, from a musical standpoint, Larry, being, you know, reaching number 2, some of these songs were huge hits. They just didn't quite get up to that number 1 slot, but they were on the charts for a long time, some of them. They sold a lot of records. Some of them became Sinatra standards that, you know, he would play through the years, and some of them not so, but it's going to be interesting. I love the idea, and I'm excited to try this some of these Mash Bill Buffalo Trace Mash Bill number 2 different what do you call them, versions, or
well, it's basically, yeah, so the distillery has a rye mash bill, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. They have a bourbon mash bill. Mm-hmm. And for different bourbon flavors, they have two different mash bills.
Okay.
So the combination of the mash bill plus the char of the barrel plus the location in the rickhouse makes a different bourbon.
Oh, okay.
So mash bill number 2 is what gives us Blantons.
Oh.
Blantons.
Okay.
So Blantons comes from Mash Bill number 2. So tonight, we have 7 songs and we have 7 pours.
Wow.
Here's your 7 pours. We've got Elmer T. Lee. We've pre-poured these drinks. They're mixed up in front of us, and they're only numbered.
Okay.
They're the same numbers in each glass that you and I have here.
Right.
But we don't know what's what.
We don't know which one is which.
So Elmer T. Lee, who basically created Blantons way back in the 80s for Japanese export.
Okay.
For the Japanese market. He has a bourbon named after him.
All right.
Elmer T. Lee, Blantons, mm-hmm. Jay Bowman, small batch, Jay Bowman, Abraham Bowman, single barrel. That is... Buffalo Trace Mash Bill number 2 that is then shipped off to Virginia and aged in a warehouse in Virginia. Rock Hill Farms, and then we have an old classic, Ancient Age and Ancient Age. So these are bourbons. Some of them you can just buy right off the shelf.
Okay.
Walk into your shop and there it is. Some are a little bit harder to track down.
And pretty so, much, I mean, we should say, I mean, you tell me if I'm right or if I'm wrong here, but I mean, right now, there's a significant halo over the Buffalo Trace product, which is making, you know, some of the Buffalo Trace brands hard to find right now, or at least,
oh yeah,
you know,
yeah. I mean, that's the issue, yeah, is that we're going to prove, maybe without a shadow of a doubt, between the two of us, given our taste buds tonight,
oh yeah,
if Blanton's deserves all the hype, oh, because Blanton's is climbing up to like $100 a bottle,
yeah,
you know, when it should be more readily available and a lot cheaper,
yeah, yeah. If you can find it, I mean, and not that it is good. I've enjoyed it on a few occasions, and it's good. It's very good, but there's a ton of hype about it. That's true.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I mean, too much,
right?
In my opinion.
Yeah.
So let's see what's a good alternate.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe
good.
Maybe this is the experiment, right?
I love it.
The scientific experience. You know, drinking bourbon in the name of experimentation is always a fun thing to do.
You know. So the thing is, folks, we're here for you. You know, somebody's got to try 7 different expressions of Buffalo Trace mash bill number 2, and we're gonna do it. We're gonna take care of it. We're gonna take care of it for you tonight.
I'm doing it right now. I'm picking one of these up.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. This is my.
Let's go ahead and.
This is. I don't have numbers on mine. You can look at the numbers because you don't have the order. I can't look at my numbers.
Oh, okay.
So I'm gonna pick up this one right here in front of me and take a sip.
Hmm. Okay. I'm gonna get involved too here.
Hmm.
Let's see.
Mm-hmm. And while we sip and savor this,
yeah,
we're gonna play some Sinatra.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why we're here.
Yeah. Do you want me to say something about what we got coming up here? So here we are, season 2, episode 2. Deuces are wild. I mean, it's twos all over the place. Mash bill number 2. And then we've got these songs that reached number 2 on the charts, but still really some great work by Frank. And, you know, it's interesting because this skews kind of young in Frank's career. And we tend to skew a little bit later in his career. I mean, we've done a show about the Tommy Dorsey days and some of that stuff, but we tend to focus on the Capitol Sinatra and the Reprise Sinatra, and these number 2 hits are
top of the heap years.
Top of the heap, absolutely. There is no doubt about it. And yet, Sinatra was a very successful recording artist in the 40s, and so we're going to start. We've got a few songs from the 40s. And then we're going to just go through these chronologically. The first one is a song from 1941. It was composed by Joe Bushkin and lyrics by John DeVries. And Bushkin was a pianist and played in the band, played in the Dorsey band.
Made a great Irish whiskey. Bushkin did.
In his spare time he did that. This song, we've got an arrangement by Cy Oliver, which did a lot of Sinatra's work back at that time. And Sinatra would go on to re-record this song for A Swingin' Affair in 1957 on Capitol, with a great arrangement by Riddle. But let's just dial it back to 1941 and give a listen to Frank Sinatra and Oh Look at Me Now.
I'm not the guy who cared about love, and I'm not the guy who cared about fortunes and such. never cared much.
Oh, look at you now.
I never knew the technique of kissing. I never knew the thrill I could get from your touch. Never knew much.
Oh, look at you now. You're a new man, better than Casanova at his best.
With a new heart, a brand new start, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
I love this song.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. It's really grown on me. And just the tone of the, was it the Pied Pipers? Is that what we said the group was?
No.
The Pied Pipers, right?
No, that's, I don't believe so, but it could be, Larry.
I think it's the Pied Pipers.
Okay.
Do I have that wrong?
I don't know.
I've had too much of this first sample of Mashbill number 2.
I'm not sure, but I do think you're getting a couple things here, because the purity of Sinatra's voice at this time, and also the whole idea of Sinatra as kind of a, you know, a naive guy who is looking for love, and the whole Swoonatra persona, that skinny kid with the floppy tie, the one that made them swoon at the Paramount, the Bobby Soxers in this era. I'm not surprised this was a big hit for him.
Oh, it's so good. Listen to these voices.
But look at me now. He's a new man, better than Casanova at his best. He's got some new jive and it's really fun.
Why, I'm so proud I'm busting my vest.
He's a lover. Yes, we know he's a lover. Yes.
I laughed at those blue diamond rings. Just one of those things.
But look at him now.
Jack, I'm ready.
Look at him now.
Oh, man. Where's the crowd? Where's the applause?
Oh,
it's
man.
So good.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, Larry, those two guys, Bushkin and John DeVries, they're the same guys who wrote Hot Time in Old Berlin a couple years later during the war years. And we had it on, I think, maybe the 4th of July show or something from last year. But great songwriting and just lovely performance by Frank and the Dorsey Band.
Fantastic. So, really, really love that one.
How are His you doing first, on your how are you doing on your bourbon there?
Yeah, I've got a couple sips on this first one. I'm about to move to the second one. It's very sweet and oaky. It's what a bourbon should be. It's yet to be discovered what I think this one is, but I've already got some early guesses, but you know, we'll see how I do after about four of these.
I think, I don't know, man. I think I'm going to have to do some kind of a, like, put it in a bracket, you know, like,
yeah,
like
the, no,
like,
you can't,
like the final four or something, because,
right.
I mean,
right.
I'm just, guys, I'm looking at seven glasses of bourbon here. They're labeled, but,
and we're sipping. We're just sipping,
I mean,
them.
Yeah, know. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're sipping them.
Yeah, we're not drinking. We're just not drinking these a lot. Yeah, you can do process of elimination. You know, you can kind of take one and drink the other. You know, kind of compare the two.
Yeah.
Cleanse with some water. Yeah. Well, I'm going to dive into the second and the third one, and maybe to listen to another track.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea. So the next song is from 1943, and it was the music was written by Harry Warren, lyrics by Mack Gordon, And it was based on a poem written by a young Oklahoma war bride. And her name was Dorothy Fern Norris. It was introduced in the 1943 movie Hello Frisco, Hello. And it won the 1943 Academy Award for Best Original Songs. Had to beat out not seven or not six other competitors, Lorenzo, but had to put one among nine songs nominated.
Nine.
So yeah, that's a lot of original songs. Anyway, Sinatra recorded this was his first recording that he did at Columbia as a solo artist after he had left Dorsey and he was signed to Columbia on his own. He had recorded it actually before when he was with Harry James, and this one was arranged and conducted by Alec Wilder. And this has got the Bobby Tucker Singers along for the ride. And once again,
where are they now?
Where are they now?
The Bobby Tuckers.
The Bobby Tucker Singers. So anyway, let's give a listen now. Dial it back to 1943. And this is the second song of the night. So again, Deuces Wild.
We're two for two.
From 1943, here's Frank with You'll Never Know.
You'll never know just how much I miss you. You'll never know just how much I care. And if I tried, I still couldn't hide my love for you. You ought to know, 'cause haven't I told you so a million or more times? You went away.
It kind of trots along like some other songs do in his catalog era.
It's interesting. It really, this feels, even though it was recorded, you know, 2 years after Oh Look at Me Now, it really seems like a throwback. I mean, it seems like the 30s. Or even earlier. It's a very kind of what we would. It's dated. I mean, it is of its era. You know, whereas some of these other orchestrations we're going to hear tonight and performances don't sound as dated as this.
Yeah, it reminds me of like just sitting on the porch and listening to the radio. You know, like maybe that's why it was so popular. Those kind of compositions, you know, because people are just relaxing, hanging out, listening to the radio.
Yeah, I mean, and it is a lovely song, and it's a great performance by Frank, and the sentiment of the song is quite lovely.
To prove that I love you, I swear I don't know. Never know if you don't know now.
I tell you, I don't know if it's that song or the fact that I've worked myself through seven tastings here in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling the Vespers. Or is it the vapors?
The vapors. I thought you were just going to say this has you feeling nice and warm.
Yeah, so mash bill 2 is a high rye mash bill, so that
Ooh.
Means that its rye content
okay.
is higher
yeah.
than normal bourbon. So
it did seem a little spicier, a little
it's sweeter. It's sweet and it's spicy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key there. So,
sweet and spicy. Okay.
Sweet and spicy. Whereas wheated bourbons are more just on the sweet side.
Hmm.
These the high rise tends to be a little bit sweeter and spicier. Well, we're gonna let's take a break and we'll sort out some bourbons, and when we come back, we're gonna tell you what's been eliminated. How about that?
What's been eliminated?
Yeah, we should listen to some music, do some eliminations.
Oh no, I got to do eliminations. All right. Okay.
Yeah, pressure. The Oof. Pressure's on.
Oh gosh. All right.
We'll be back in a second.
Cause that's the night friends come to call, and Monday to Friday go fast, and another week is past. But Saturday night is the loneliest night in the week. I sing the song that I sang for the memories I usually see, until I hear you at the door, until you're in my arms once more. Saturday night is the loneliest night of the week.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whew.
Saturday night.
That was kicking.
Yeah. Yeah. And unlike the last song, one, you know, it does have a timeless jazzy feel to it. And it's a song, of course, that Frank would go on to record later in 1957 on Capitol. And that's the version that if you know this song, if you love this song, chances are it's the Capitol version done, you know, with a swinging chart by Billy May from the Come Dance With Me album. This version, however, is a single from 1944. The song Saturday Night is the Loneliest Night of the Week. Music by Jewel Stein. Lyrics by Sammy Kahn. Another two here, part of that great duo of Kahn and Van Heusen that would write so much great music for Sinatra. And
yeah.
Earlier, Kahn worked with Jewel Stein a lot. So Sinatra had a nice hit with this in 1945. And with a chart by Axel Stordahl, who did a lot of those Columbia charts for Frank. He loved Axel and really relied on him during those years. And interestingly, Sinatra sang this song in the film short, the All-Star Bond Rally from 1945, which I take it from the name that it was a bunch of celebrities doing their thing and helping to sell war bonds. So
it was We Are the World from the 40s.
We Are the World. Let's get your money and save the world right now. Come on.
That's right. It didn't quite make the cut, which is shocking because it's such a great tune. I don't know what edged it out.
Oh yeah.
Time, but
It was a hit song, and it just didn't quite get up to number one. But
the charts aren't everything sometimes. Mm,
but it's a great tune and a great recording of it.
I mean, speaking of eliminations, we've yes. done some work here.
Yes,
we've done some work.
Yes, so
I'm down. I've got one top candidate pulled, and I've eliminated two.
Mm.
So I've got four. I've got four at the heart of this battle that I still have to pick between, because this one I elevated up is just so good. It's like honey and cherries. It's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I could have an early winter. Just saying.
Mm. Mm. Oh, this one sounds like the one you just described. There's some big time cherries in this one. Yeah.
What glass number you got?
That's number four.
Number four.
Yeah. So, all right. I've got some that I pushed to the back row, which I'm pretty sure I've eliminated them. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I've taken three out of contention.
Three. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
good.
Three out of contention now.
Making some headway.
I just have the last four here, and I'm trying to just see. Hey, you know what is which one is the best? And I'm sure I threw. I hate to say it, but my guess is I probably tossed some really great bourbon into the back row.
We don't know. That's the whole point.
I will not be surprised if you tell me, oh, you know, the really, really good one, you already took off the table. So, oh, well.
It might be subjective. I mean, indeed. We're going to have different taste buds, you know. You don't know what I pick versus what you pick.
I do know
that one of mine, one of my, that I still have to go through, it seems a little bit young.
Okay. Oh, that's delicious. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's a keeper. That's top tier material for sure. Just like Sinatra's catalog, top tier. Okay.
Some might say it's wonderful.
That is right. And in 1946, Frank Sinatra recorded a song that was written by Irving Berlin for the musical Annie Get Your Gun, 1946. He did this with Columbia, and the arrangement once again by the inimitable Axel Stordahl. Kind of funny, if you're a fan of shows that have a retro vibe, retro feel, maybe are set in the past, you might have heard this song performed in season three of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Yes, by Darius DeHaas, and he is the voice of the character Shy Baldwin on the show, if you follow it.
Yeah.
And we should give Leroy McLean the credit for actually playing Shy Baldwin. He does not do the singing. That's Darius DeHaas. But anyway, let's give a listen to what was going on in 1946 when Frank Sinatra performed They Say It's Wonderful.
They say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful. So they say. And with a moon up above, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. I only know they tell me that love is grand.
All I know is what I just drank is not wonderful. I'm gonna have to eliminate this one.
Okay. Wow.
Well,
This is quite an elegant recording and a nice performance by Frank on this ballad. And once again, he's portraying a character in this song who is someone who is completely inexperienced in love and doesn't know what it's about. And this was an important part of Sinatra's persona at this time more, even more before the end of the war, but it carried over a little bit into 1946.
To hold a girl in your arms is wonderful, wonderful in every way. So they say.
Well, I've eliminated what I think is the youngest whiskey.
Okay.
Youngest whiskey, youngest bourbon in this in this selection here, in this blind selection.
Once again, mash bill number two.
Yeah.
Buffalo Trace. We're trying. We're trying Elmer T. Lee. We got Blanton's in here. We got
somewhere in there.
J. Bowman Small Batch. Is that right, Larry?
Yep.
And then Abraham Bowen and Rock Hill Farm. Sorry, folks. I can't read my writing.
His eyesight is going, guys.
No, I have a terrible handwriting. And then Ancient Age plus Ancient Age.
That's so, right. The 10 star. Used to be age stated 10 year.
Yeah.
And now it's just 10 star. They took the age off.
Right. And this is a funny thing. I like how these bourbons, like ancient age. It reminds me of that very, very old Fitzgerald. You know, just repeat the same word. No, you think this is old. No, we got something even older.
You say it twice, you double it up.
You double it up, exactly. Twice, you repeat it.
This last one I had was very young.
So next up, we're going to hear a Capitol single from 1953, early days on Capitol for Sinatra, arranged by Nelson Riddle. Admiral Nelson, one of the greatest arrangers of popular song in the 20th century, and the work he did with Sinatra is absolutely at the top. Even though this particular single only made it to number two,
that's hard to believe.
Yeah, written by Johnny Richards and Carolyn Lee. Lee did the words to a song that Richards had put out as an instrumental, written as an instrumental called Moonbeam. Sinatra kind of had a little bit of a, I mean, this was a comeback for him. He'd been off the charts a little bit. But once he got in with Capitol and he started recording with Riddle, things got very interesting. And Riddle was the one who brought this song to Sinatra. It was kicking around for a while, and Nelson recommended it. And, you know, Sinatra said that he didn't even ask Riddle to hear it. He just said, "You think it's good? Let's do it."
Nice.
And it was a big hit. And here it is. Let's listen to this from 1953 on Capitol, Frank Sinatra and Young at Heart.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you if you're young at heart. For it's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young at heart. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh when your dreams fall apart at the seams. And life gets more exciting with each passing day. And love is either in your heart or on its way. Don't you know that it's worth...
I tell you, this bourbon gets more exciting with every taste of it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was just thinking that.
For as rich as you are.
Yeah. I think I've made some important choices here.
Definitely
go in for one more.
that powdered sugar and bubble gum and
yeah
on number seven. Really good. I still have four here. I gotta eliminate another one, Larry.
You gotta eliminate them. You gotta knock them out. Gotta. Man.
Somebody's got to do it, folks. Somebody's got to do it. Very young at heart.
And if you should survive to 105, look at all you'll derive out of being alive. And here is the best part, you have a head start if you are among the very young at heart.
Well, it's an amazing single, and it's, again, it's just talks about, I think, to the point where it's testament to the fact that the charts aren't everything.
Right, right. And did you hear that little, I mean, Nelson is so smart, and did you hear the little sort of tinkling sound, that little, almost like a music box sound at the end, like a, you know, little children's. Tiny little
Easter egg,
final, you know, flourish of music that sounded like it was, you know, from a kid's wind up, you know, yeah. Music box or something.
That's genius.
Really, a little bit.
All right. Well, how are you doing over there? I'm down to two.
Okay.
I've got it down to two. It was hard to do this, but okay. I've got it down to two.
Okay. I'm still going through. I got. Let me see if I can get one of these. Kick one of these out.
How many you got left?
I still got four.
Oh boy! I think you were doing too much setup for the last song, and you didn't get to eliminate.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's play another track, and I think that'll give us enough time to kind of narrow it down.
Okay.
Our finalists.
Yeah.
And we'll do the reveal. How about that?
That sounds good. Yeah.
Okay.
So. Coming up next, we got a song written by Sammy Kahn and Jimmy Van Heusen, Frank's personal writers through a lot of the great Capitol years, great Capitol albums.
Still makes great shirts.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know Van Heusen, that's where he got that name.
Yeah,
he took it off the shirt label because that wasn't his name. His name is Chester Babcock. So. Jimmy Van
makes great
Heusen,
furniture.
Jimmy, I mean Chester. That's what Frank called him from time to time, just because that was his real name. But anyway, you know, we'll talk about Van Heusen at length on another occasion because it's worth it. This song was introduced in the film The Joker Is Wild, and Sinatra had the top selling version of this song. He also sang Chicago, that toddling town in The Joker Is Wild. So it went up to number two in airplay on the Billboard chart, and it was nominated for the Academy Award in 1957 for Best Original Song, and it won. So,
wow.
Yeah. So kudos to Nelson Riddle for the arrangement of this song. And, he would, later re-record it, for the reprise album, Sinatra's Sinatra, because it was a big hit. People loved it. And, you know, at that point, he left Capitol and he wanted to get a little bit of the, coin for himself on his new label. So,
yeah.
But here it is from Capitol from 1957. Frank Sinatra, and All the Way.
When somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you. All the way. Happy to be near you
when you need someone to cheer you all the way. Taller than the tallest trees.
I'm going to go all the way to the bottom of the glass with these last three.
Wow.
I'm really, really enjoying these. Just trying to
I've got a tough choice here between two excellent, excellent bourbons. I gotta keep hitting these.
When somebody needs you, it's no good unless he needs you all the way. Through the good or lean years and for all the envy.
Wow, now the one I elevated early doesn't compare to the other one now. The second place guy in my book is actually now rising up the charts.
Yeah.
Which sometimes happens.
This is just a lovely, amazing lyric by Sammy Kahn. I just really appreciate this.
Sure, I'm gonna love you all the way. All the way.
And then in comes Nelson with this break here and horns.
So if you let me love you, it's for sure I'm gonna love you all the way.
Big finish. Big finish.
Okay, I got two, Larry. Do I need a winner?
I think this is decision time.
Okay.
We've come all the way to the end of this, and we need a decision. It's tough for me too, but you know, it's funny because earlier I had picked this one that was fantastic and I pulled it to the ranks of the top of the ranks, and then I had narrowed down to my kind of second choice, and I was pitting them against each other.
Yeah,
and it turns out my second place is better than my first original choice. Mm. So my number one, we should go for number two. Let's do number two.
No, what about number three?
I don't have a number three.
No, number two. Okay.
I've eliminated
number two.
Everything.
Let's do number two. Number two. Yeah. Let's go with number two first.
So let's do a pickup here.
Okay.
So, all right. In second place for me.
Yeah.
This one has a little bit too much oak. I don't know what's going on. It's got a little funk on it between the two. And so my number one, I'm sorry, my number two.
Your number one.
My number two is labeled number one. And number one is Elmer T. Lee. Elmer T. Lee in the second place spot for me. Luke, what's your third place choice?
Okay. Third place is actually the number three.
The number three. Your third place bourbon.
I don't know what this is, folks.
I'm gonna tell you.
It's a mystery. Yeah.
Your third place is Abraham Bowman Small Batch.
Ooh. Well,
bourbon,
it's tasty.
A bourbon that you can walk into any liquor store and grab off the shelf. Any larger store has it.
Is it pricey?
No, not at all. I mean, it's not going to be $20, but it's, you know,
40, 50 bucks, something like that.
Yeah, it's mid price.
Okay.
Mid range.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Elmer T. Lee almost made it to the top for me.
ETL didn't quite make it.
Why don't you tell me?
Second place?
Second place.
Okay. Second place for me, it's a really delicious pour. It's number four.
Number four, following a train of thought and your taste, is Abraham Bowman single barrel. This is a single barrel of bourbon, not a blend.
Well, I you know, it makes me feel like, you know, like I actually can tell the difference, because I like three, but I like four just a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it, because it's, you know, it's a single barrel. It's probably, is it, it's a little bit higher proof, Larry?
It might be a higher proof, but it's also related to Blanton's, because Blanton's is the Ooh. First single barrel product on the market.
Oh, I didn't, I you know, I guess I'd kind of forgotten that about Blanton's.
That's right.
That it is a single barrel only. So they're not blending it like they do with, you know, blending between different barrels, like a, you know, like they would most bourbons.
Yeah. For mass production,
oh,
that
wow.
is.
Wow. Oh, it's delicious. It's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go. It is down to this. Should we take one last sip?
Yeah, yeah, numero uno.
Mm. Now, the reason I chose this bourbon is because it has qualities of like a vintage bourbon. Like you'd find an age, like an aged, you know, bourbon like from like the 60s or 70s. Like,
yeah.
Like a dusty.
Yeah.
This thing has that same quality. It's almost like it's been finished in like a cognac barrel or something.
I think I chose the same one, dude.
No way.
Seriously.
What do you got?
It is number seven.
Number seven. Oh, boy. Ladies and gentlemen, I chose... This is hilarious. Wow, really? You chose number
There's
seven?
There's no chicanery. There's no chicanery here, folks. Okay. I mean,
well,
I chose number seven.
So I cannot believe this. This is completely legit. I pulled a fast one on Luke.
Yeah.
And your number seven is ancient age. Age stated 10-year bourbon that they don't make anymore. Okay?
Wow. Yeah.
My number one pick is Glass 6, which is ancient age, non-age stated, which you can buy on the shelf for like $21. I'm not kidding. Not ancient age, but ancient age 10 star. Which cost well under $25.
Oh, I'm going out and getting a bottle tomorrow.
I can't believe it. So I wanted to put something different in the glass for you. And basically what we've ended up picking is not Blanton's.
Mm-hmm. What? So just out of curiosity, what number is Blanton's out here?
Blanton's is number two.
Okay, so it was in fourth for me.
Blanton's was fourth. Blanton's was fourth place, huh? Bowman's is fantastic, and I cannot recommend it enough. And yeah. ancient age 10 star is a great value pick. Clearly,
yeah,
it's just goes to show that you shouldn't shell out $100 for a bourbon when there's other ones that can possibly be better and easier to find.
I'm definitely going to get that ancient age. Got to get that ancient age on the show.
Well, now there's two. There's place. Ancient age and there's ancient age. It's doubly okay. good. Clearly,
okay.
it's double the taste, double the flavor.
Two ancients. Yeah.
Well, I, believe it or not, am completely functional and can continue going on with this podcast all night if I wanted to. But we have come to an end.
Oh, yeah.
Of episode two, our blind tasting, which I'm still in shock over this result. I can't believe.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody. We appreciate you checking out the show. Appreciate you being there. And what good? We're gonna let Frank take us out. So. thanks again.
I can't second that motion enough. Thank you. We're everywhere, by the way, now. We're on Pandora. We're on every podcast platform. So tell your friends about it. And write us a review. If you have suggestions for the show, hit us up at frankwithdrinking@gmail.com. And I'm your host, Larry.
And I'm Luke. And you've been listening to Frankly Drinking. What you're leading me to.
It's such an ancient pitch, but one I wouldn't switch. 'Cause there's no nicer witch than you.